So tell me a little bit about how we got on. It's a coming of age story, and it's also about hip hop.
Yeah, well, it's the classic sort of American dramatic trope of the young people coming of age, you know, going out onto adventures and learning who they are as they do it. But I wanted to try to find a new kind of fresh way to tell that story. So a different sort of execution. And so I drew from my experiences as a rapper, you know, and also, you know, being in the studio and working with like beat makers and DJs and producers. And so it's my attempt to adapt the beat making and the DJ mixing aesthetics onto a play. So the DJ narrator character is essentially blending and looping and sampling the lives of these three 15-year-old kids in suburban Midwestern somewhere who want to be rappers. It's the mid-80s and rap has just exploded. Like UMTV Raps has just come out when the play begins. And you see these three kids who think they're the only rap fans in this city meet one another and sort of, you know, initially there's some tension. There's like, oh, okay, you think you're the rapper, I'm the rapper. We gotta battle it out, you know. And so you see that competition happening, but then you see them also come together in the moments where they connect. And you also see what is revealed about their lives through their rap, you know what I mean? Through their creativity, we see, you know, what they're working through at home. You know, the things, their relationships with their fathers particularly, and we'll see how that manifests itself in their art.
So the geography of this piece and the specific time period are really interesting, because when we think about hip hop in the mid to late 80s, what we're thinking about are the coasts, you know, the New York where hip hop really was founded, and then Southern California and the West Coast as NWA and groups like that really started to give California a bit of a rise and a challenge mm-hmm. to the East Coast power. And so what's always overlooked is what happened in the great vast country in between. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So where did you grow up? How did you become a hip hop fan?
I grew up in the Detroit area, city and suburbs, and also spent a lot of time in Chicago. And for me, you know, I was born in 77. So I remember, you know, when we were living in the city of Detroit, I mean, I remember Rapper's Delight, and I remember Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Message, and Run DMC and Dougie. I remember walking to school with my brother and reciting the show, you know, yeah. Like this is called the show, you know, all of that stuff. So it's just always been around, you know, and I didn't really realize until later, like, oh, I have to kind of be strategic about finding this music mm-hmm. because it's not on the radio. It's not for me. It was just like, of course, who doesn't love hip? Like, what's wrong with you? What do you mean? Like, when we moved to the suburbs, especially, I was just like, what do you mean? You don't like rap music? Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, the historical context is, yo, MTV Raps didn't, you know, hip hop didn't get its own show on MTV until 1989. The rap groups that were on MTV, which in the 80s is where we, you know, where the nation really got its music, were the crossover groups, kind of more pop, hip hop. And so discovering new music was not as easy as it is now with the internet. You really had to go looking for it in a lot of cases or live in a city.
Yeah. It was trading. I mean, a lot of it for me was trading tapes mm-hmm. was big. I remember I had two cousins and we were all very close in age. And so whenever they would come visit us, they would bring the tapes that they had been listening to. Ah. And then we'd dub, you know, like my brother had the dual cassette
yes.
boombox. So we'd do high speed dubs and we always did that. And that's how you did it.
Well, we have a clip from the play. So could you set it up for us? Tell us what we're about to hear.
Okay, so the three primary characters are Hank, Julian, and Luann. And without giving too much away, basically, Luann wants to join their crew, right? Hank is down with it because he thinks that she's really good. Julian, who's kind of the more of the star of the crew, kind of sees her a little bit as like doesn't, you know, he fronts on her. He doesn't think that she has real skills. And so this is in this scene, she's kind of stepping to him at his job at the pizza shop he works at and just sort of putting the challenge down. Just like, let's do this.
You're not as dope as people say you are.
Huh?
You ever had a real challenge? I'm going to count to three.
And then what?
We're going to see who's dope.
This is my job, but don't come in my job.
One.
I'm serious.
Two.
Three.
Four. To the five, six, seven, beyond. The queen has arrived to school, you peon. Eons, centuries from now, they'll mention me, my feminine energy, my rapping ability.
It's okay.
That was fly.
Was it awful?
Just jealous. Cause I can rhyme better than you. What you got?
Dynamite, excite, explode, expose. Fake MCs, crack they code. Hold mic, pose. Foes get flattened, toss like a salad. Crush with a mallet, crack they whole cabbage. Do enough damage. You ain't a challenge, you baloney, I'm manwich.
Please, you about as hard as water. Fragile like your mama's China saucers. This super dope daughter, super fresh rhymes, super fresh style, I.
Fresher, better, hella fresh to the letter. You wilted moldy spinach, you'll get finished, strong like Popeye.
Not fly, you not. I transform Megatron, you bootleg GoBot. I stop the rhyme, then bust out the robot. Even got the devil saying, that MC's so hot, blew up your spot with the fresh raps I got. You laughing, but it ain't funny how I flow like snot. Don't need a beat, I rap unique right here in Pizza Pete's.
Wait. Hold up. Were you making that up?
Yeah.
Like, just on the spot?
What, you've never done that before?
Huh? Yeah. I've done that before.
Well, I think, you know, it's having Luann as a character in this triumvirate is really great because women in hip hop are not rare, but and they're not necessarily a rare part of an 80s rap crew, but they still there's still lots of, you know, I think struggles within the hip hop world about the role of women and what role, I guess, a woman takes. Like, is she an equal? Is she a girlfriend? Is she a sex symbol? Is she all of the above? So what went into developing the character Luann for you? Did you have an inspiration for her? Or
I mean, not really. I mean, I just, you know, I'm just a firm believer that in 2012, I just couldn't write a play about hip hop culture and have it just be a bunch of dudes, because that's just like, that's played. Now, obviously, I'm a guy, and so I tend to write from that perspective and from that lens. But I just wanted to have it be like a mixture, and there's just a lot more that you can get into, you know, when you have some diversity on stage, you know, or a gender balance on stage. To back it up a little bit, I also, there was just a lot more female representation, I thought, in that era, in 88. I mean, it's predominantly, you know, hip-hop music as we know it, you know, that is, you know, recorded and goes out on the videos and goes out on the radio is predominantly male, which speaks to a larger reality of, you know, a very male-dominated society. But there was much more female representation. I think the big shift in terms of if we're thinking about now, mm-hmm. and this issue now, is that the big shift was in the late 90s when somebody got it in their head that what the rap world has not seen is a female MC that is really owning her sexuality but really putting it out there. Because if you think about the way hip hop's been sold maybe in the last 20 years, it's hyper masculinity,
yes.
Like on the extremity, mm-hmm. And so, you know, hyper, you know, femininity or sensuality on the other extreme,
mm-hmm.
But that you know, at its core, you know, when hip hop music, you know, before people thought that hip hop music or rap music could be a big seller, there was less meddling by outside entities, meaning
yeah.
that someone like MC Lyte can exist in her full self,
mm-hmm.
someone like Queen Latifah can exist in her full self, or Moni Love can exist in her full self, or Salt and Pepper, who were very sexual,
yeah.
you know, but were clothed, but also were first and foremost like MCs. They were like, you know,
right.
I'll destroy you, like lyrically, you know. And then
comes Lil' Kim.
Well, right. And at yeah. that point, rap is like tremendously huge business, mm-hmm. meaning that, you know, some middle-aged white man is thinking about his yacht. You know what I mean? And he's like not interested in hip hop culture. He's not interested in youth expression. He's mm-hmm. like, yo, I need to put gas in my yacht.